Welcome to the Washington Defender Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. I'm at the Rona Conference here in Ocean Shores, and I have a special guest, Lenny, today. Lenny, welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure to be on, Brian.
Great to have you. Now, what brings you to Rona?
So this has been probably my fourth or fifth year attending the Rona Conference. I'm here with the Washington Young Republicans. We've had a presence here all those years, and so I'm here again, spend time with some of my members. And some of our supporters have supported our organization.
That's great. Now, what's your role with them?
I'm the chairman of the Washington Young Republicans.
You're the chairman. You're like the head honcho there. There we go.
Unfortunately, yes.
So tell me what's been going on with your guys' movement, and what are you seeing on the grounds?
So we have grown exponentially. Mm-hmm. We have seen a lot more excitement and participation. So, for example, last year we put the goal to grow our organization by 30%.
Right.
And that meant that we had to end the year with 761 members. Mm-hmm. We ended the year with a little bit over 780 members. So we met our growth goals, as well as we exponentially increased our voter contact goals. The year prior, the Washington Young Republicans made about 320,000 voter contacts in this state.
Right.
The goal I set was 750,000 voter contacts.
Right.
And we beat that by around 20,000 voter contacts. So we ended with around 770,000 voter contacts for last year.
So you're going to have to teach us what we're doing, because we have 1.3 million Christians not showing up. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes,
Like, and that's in the state of Washington, right? Mm-hmm. Washington State, 500,000 are registered, 700,000 don't even register to vote. So what's the secret sauce that you're doing to get these people to turn up and show up and those voter contacts?
Well, the voter contacts is us going out to them. Doesn't mean they're turning up, but we're showing up on their doors.
Yeah.
We're showing up on our text messages. We're showing up in the mail with mailers.
Yeah.
But that is what we're all trying to figure out. How do we get people out of their houses, off their couches, and turning those ballots in, taking them to the mailbox and sending those. And you're right. I'm a born again believer as well.
Yeah.
And it's appalling the numbers of Christians across this country that are uninvolved. I always feel so humbled and privileged every time I go to the East Coast and I go to where our founding fathers walked.
Right.
You know, going touring places like the Battle of Trenton or going to Valley Forge.
Yeah.
And all our revolutionary movement was spurred on by Christians,
absolutely,
by pastors, and by the youth. Most of our founding fathers were under 40.
That's exactly
right.
Most
people don't really realize. And these were men of faith. And this has to start in the pulpit. We, on the government side, we cannot legislate, you know, a revival. It has to come from the church.
That's right.
And that needs to bleed over to government and to politics.
Yep.
And so that's a big question. How do we get Christians out? And I don't know. We're trying really hard to do that by going to their doors, door knocking them, by sending mailers, by sending out text messages. But ultimately, it has to come from the heart.
Now, here's something that we've done as well, is we have started voting party parties, barbecues. And what we tell the people who have 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, throw a party, invite the 20- and 30-year-olds, answer their questions. You know, you don't fill out their ballot for them, but just answer their questions, be involved. And we did that as a test pilot this last year. And it's amazing how many people will show up for food and how many people will like, I actually want to fill this out, but it's confusing to me. And so we found a lot of people like, I don't like, especially with those initiatives, is it yes or is it no? And so you can explain both sides of the argument or even like on the governor, like, or whatever. They just didn't know. They didn't know what they should do. And so I think having voting parties is fun, and I like to have barbecues and that kind of thing. So
I agree.
Yeah, so it's good. So I also thought you made a great point about our founding fathers. A lot of people don't understand that we are a Christian nation, and what that doesn't mean we're perfect.
Right.
That means is that people were motivated by Christ to start a nation. And I think that is a very important point that you brought out. So
Christianity is for an unperfect people.
It is.
If you're perfect, you wouldn't need Christianity.
That's right.
So that's 100%. We're not perfect people, but I do think our founding fathers have had the foresight to create the best system, short of a theocracy, to govern mankind on this planet.
Yeah, I like to say our citizenship is in heaven, but our stewardship is here on earth, right?
Correct.
So we steward, so we want to love our neighbor. And this is, when we talk through this, like a republic does two things. It combines the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. A democracy only does free will of man. And so this combines those two things together. People don't understand that. That's why every constitution in the United States starts out with the supreme authority. You know, like there's a preamble that recognizes God as the creator as we go. So I agree. Our founders did find something. What are you seeing on the streets in Washington? Is there hope in the young people? Is there a despair? Where would you be?
There's always hope.
Yeah.
But it is a tough climb, and it involves a lot of work. One, you know, again, what we can do, us outside the church, is try to just learn from other states, learn from other places where we've seen blue states, blue counties, blue cities, and flipped red.
Yeah.
And that involves kind of getting with the times, new technologies, new ways of doing campaigning. One of the sad things I see across the state is when I go, maybe it's a different Republican Party meetings, is there is a mindset of, well, this is how we won back in 1996.
Right.
And this is going to win us the camp again today. And that's not the case. We cannot campaign like it's 1996. We cannot campaign like we're ready to defeat Jimmy Carter. I know that's when they got involved, but we're decades away from that.
That's right.
We have to campaign for the times that we're living in.
Right.
And what that involves in geo-targeted text messaging.
It is.
It involves mailers.
It does.
It involves a little bit of social media, some ads, ad buying. And we have to get away from just let's put out a bunch of signs, let's do sign waving, and that's going to convince voters to come out. It doesn't convince voters to come out.
It doesn't. Yeah, exactly right. And I think that we've moved into more of an authentic environment. And what I mean by that is when we did sign waving before, it was just like, oh, yeah, I think their slogan's cool and whatever. Now people want to either know someone who knows the person they're voting for, right? They've had contact with them, or they want to know that person firsthand. They don't want to go that much further from that. And so that stewardship of that ballot is so important that we step out and we teach the you know, my generation, the Xers, to say, hey, let's find those other people and let's make sure that they're completing that and answering their questions as we go. So
I know when we doorbelled, having that connection to the candidate is really impactful. So when I go out and I doorbell, especially for the ones candidates I know, I'll tell the person at the door, this candidate is my friend. That's why I'm out here.
Right.
I'm out here, especially exactly. When they're in the summer because I sweat a lot. They see this sweaty,
yeah.
Tired guy. But the reason I'm out here, you know, exhausted is because this person is my friend and I believe in them.
That's right.
And I want to encourage you to vote for them. And that goes a long way. Short of the candidate being there,
right.
Having another person, like you mentioned, that knows a candidate and can advocate for them and say, I know this person personally, mm-hmm. goes a long way. And then you ask for their vote.
That's exactly right. And I think one of the things in the state of Washington either was done incredibly wise on the progressive side was to take away the place where we identify what type of voter we are. And what it did was it makes it so we don't know where to go or who to go. But I've really thought through this issue. Like the way to undo that is every person comes from another set of people, like parents or something. Mm-hmm. So we just need to start identifying and saying, okay, where are these voters at? Because when 5 million ballots go out and like only 3 million to 2 million or 4 million get turned back in, there's still a million ballots just sitting on the table, not getting turned in. And how do we steward that well? Well, it's been a pleasure. You can always come on. We have a digital platform as well, a studio that we, if you ever need to get the word out on stuff, our Washington Defender app is out there to mobilize the huddle at the grassroots. But we're just excited. Lenny, thank you so much for your leadership in our state.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right. So, we like to say around here is go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. And if you haven't downloaded that Washington Defender app yet, I want to encourage you to go to the Google Play or Apple App Store, download that app. You'll learn together, you'll huddle together, and you'll activate together. God bless.
I'm going to download that app now.